Welcome now to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland here at Farley's House of Pianos in Madison, where we have two pianos side by side, a Baldwin and a Steinway, and they're going to be played by our guests. Welcome, please, the Warshawski-Shapiro duo. They are Stanislava Warshawski and Diana Shapiro, and before we hear their music, we'll hear a little bit from them. Welcome back to the midday.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having us. It's our pleasure.
It's our pleasure to come to be back. Thank you, Norman.
It seems as if it's have been a while. And what have you been doing in the meantime?
We have been playing quite a lot. And in addition to it, just living a normal life.
That's a good thing.
We're both teaching music to aspiring young musicians and college-level musicians. We're playing a lot, learning new repertoire. Some of it you're going to hear today. And just enjoying the sun, I guess, right now.
Well, you'll bring plenty of sunshine to our performing area today with some wonderfully sparkling things. Now, you two have been playing together for 20 years now.
Yes, this year is exactly 20 years when we started. 20 years ago, we started playing together. It wasn't a pleasure from the beginning, but we, you know, as we probably, you know, we were forced to play together. And now, through music, we became real friends. And we love playing together, and our love has been already for many, many years.
Well, you know, some of those forced marriages do work out.
Let's count it like this, but it's a that became first a musical commitment to each other, and then through music we just became so close together, because you know, when you live through highs and lows, different musical experience, you travel together, you live other parts of your life together, from marriages to having kids, so you just become a really good friend.
What were some of the things you had to work out early on?
Patience. This is the biggest thing that we need to learn from both sides.
Patience. Why? I mean, so Stanislava, you would say, Diana, you're playing too loud, or you're drowning me out, or that's too fast or too slow, or what sort of patience are we talking about?
Sometimes Diana needs to wait for me. I need to process some information, and I need to wait for her. Actually, I don't need to wait for her. She's very quick.
No, that's just not about the tempo. You know, when you see two people who are quite an accomplished professionals before that, before we became a professional ensemble. So we came with our own understanding how things work. And since we're also very different people, personality-wise, we don't just look different. We're also different people. So sometimes negotiate those conditions that would work professionally and personally for both of us required a lot of work. And I remember having almost like cat fights during our first rehearsals. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think for longevity of every ensemble, it's important just to understand I'm not always right or she is not always right. And I think that's a solution that keeps us together for many years.
I think that's kept a lot of people together for a lot of years.
One more thing that we understood, everything should stay behind the doors. I mean, when we go out of the practice rooms, we don't fight anymore. It stays there. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's really difficult to do.
You're still fighting behind the doors?
Yes.
Yeah, quite often. I mean, but it's part of the process. How do you know what works if you don't experience it both ways, right? But I mean, we, over the years, I think we have learned quite successfully to separate our professional disagreements at times with our personal lives. And so we can have a really amazing rehearsal with a lot of discoveries that is not necessarily pleasant ones. And then you go out and you still have your lunch with your best friends. So that's how it works.
Well, the history of music is full of stories like that, some of them really quite colorful musicians trying to work together on a project. And of course, you get into something as complex as opera, and it's a wonder some of those people survive. But in your case, 20 years now, and things have smoothed out. Are you more likely to approach a new piece in a similar way?
I think that over the years we came up to certain things that we now feel in the same way, just because we live them together, we experience them together. I still believe that we are quite different even now, and it brings some special element to your performance, because when people are quite similar, music is like a conversation. You have to bring, when you perform music, it's like a conversation. So you have to bring your own voice to the table. And I think having some disagreement is very healthy and very productive for shaping new ideas and new music.
Well,
so when we choose new repertoire, it's very different. Every story, we have every piece with different story. So sometimes we know the piece and we really want to play for many years, and sometimes we discover something new. And probably the piece that we play first is a very new discovering for us, and we are very pleasant to play and to present this piece. It's not a very known piece for a wide public.
Carl Czerny, certainly a very prolific composer, notorious for piano students who had to struggle through his various textbooks, such as the School of Velocity.
Yeah. You couldn't have escaped his compositions, and you couldn't have found anything more boring. So
they're very good to building
your technique, the textbooks, right? So we were gifted the music for that piece after one of the performances in Italy, actually, because surprisingly, a lot of his compositions are performed in Italy, and we read on the cover, Czerny, and I'm like, let's put it on the father's shelf away. Just if somebody really asks us to play it, we'll do it. And then 10 years later, it took 10 years to rediscover it. I don't know how, but we just, probably I reorganized some shelves and I say, okay, let me try that piece of music because it had been there. And I literally felt in love. It turned out Czerny was a student of Beethoven, but also teacher of young Franz Liszt. And certainly in this composition, you can still see like elements from both of those great composers.
And a lot of virtuosity too.
Oh yeah, it's definitely from Liszt. He used Liszt style as well. And it's I would say a new approach to piano, to duet. And before him, composers used to just simply divide the piano into two equal parts. And in this case, each player has 3/4 of the piano. We have
The overlap there then.
Yes, quite often.
Quite often and quite dramatic.
It's really rather like finger ballet. So you're going to be playing the Baldwin for this pianoforte,
yes,
the 1956 Baldwin.
Yes.
And this is the first movement, Allegro Agitato, from the Grand Sonate Brillante by Carl Czerny, as played by the Warshawski Shapiro piano duo.
Thank you.
See what you can do if you practice. That was the Warshawski-Shapiro Piano Duo, live from Farley's House of Pianos for the midday today of the Grand Sonate Brillante, the first movement of that sonata in C minor by Carl Czerny, allegro and truly agitato. Spectacular stuff. Would it be fair to say, Stassi and Diana, that the Mozart will be a little more subdued?
Mozart is never subdued. He's just speaking a different language.
And so what would we find in this sonata, indeed, pretty famous sonata for two pianos?
It's also in sonata form. So it's also the first movement that we're going to play. But I think here Mozart is at his best. He's known as a symphonic composer as well as composer of operas. And I think he treats a combination of two pianos quite the same as he would treat some of his orchestra compositions of some of his famous arias.
And how would you add to that, Stassi?
He definitely sings there. Everywhere, even when we have runs, he still sings.
He should.
Well, he certainly does. Mozart, you have that sense of aria. So many instrumental works have that. Well, have you caught your breath? Has our audience caught their breath? That's the real question, too. So here we go. This will be the Allegro con Spirito, first movement of the Sonata in D for two pianos by Mozart.
Thank you.
singing all the way through. That was the first movement of Mozart's Sonata in D for two pianos, Allegro con Spirito. Our performers today, the Warshawski-Shapiro Piano Duo. And quick question here before we get into our quiz question, Diana. When you go from four hands, one piano, to four hands, two pianos, what makes it different? Easier than all that finger ballet on one piano?
You know, being at one piano doesn't feel cramped anymore. It was not always a story because, you know, we were growing up as every normal pianist having a feel that that's my home, that's my entire territory. And then it took some getting used to accept another person living in the same space. But now it doesn't feel cramped. But playing one piano four hands is quite different from two pianos just because you share the pedal. And obviously you have more notes, so there are difficult, there are different technical aspects when you play. And when you play two pianos, I mean, I feel like I play solo on any one of them, whether it's in four hands or in two pianos.
Yes, I feel the same way. It's solo for both of us, and we need to practice separately as well as together. So I would say it's sometimes it's even more difficult than playing just solo. You spend more time.
Well, and in this case, now you often perform when you're performing with two pianos, with the pianos curve to curve. This time you have them side to side. Does that make it a little more difficult? You don't have quite the eye contact that you might the other way, or what's the difference?
Oh, honestly, we don't need eye contact so
you
much.
Know what each other looks
sometimes.
Like anyway. Yeah.
We feel each other, I would say already. I can say it, yes. It wasn't the same way from the very beginning, but after so many years, you start feeling your piano partner.
And this is a composer that I venture to say none of the rest of us out here are familiar with. So these pieces from the ballet Aniuta by Valery Gavrilin.
Gavrilin, yes, it's his name, last name. And he is very famous in Russia. Unfortunately, he is not very well known here in the United States, I hope, just yet. So his music, ballet, was written as a source, not a source, I'm sorry, in the first place he wrote the ballet. And then people loved music so much that he, by himself, arranged for a suite for one piano, four hands.
So not surprising that pieces we're going to play are going to be dances. So we're going to play Mary Stroll, Little Waltz, a famous dance from 19th century, Galop, Waltz, and Tarantella. And you will hear those nostalgic Russian harmonies with modern twist because he's a 20th century composer.
And in this case, they'll be playing the 1950 Steinway.
Thank you. Thank you.
five pieces from the ballet Anita by Valery Gavrilin, played by the Warshawski Shapiro Piano Duo. And now one more, this back for two pianos by Rachmaninoff, the Tarantelle.
Thank you.
Wojciechowski's Shapiro Piano Duo with a tarantelle by Rachmaninoff. The answer to our quiz question today is Scarlet. Our winner is Mary Powell from Madison. And we came to you live from Farley's House of Pianos in Madison. This is WPR.